Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Roddy, your host for Heroes. In our second half of the show, we have a guest that is going to talk to us about Heroes. He's Eric Zarin. He is the chairman and CEO of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. And it's a wonderful organization. And I'll ask Eric just to give a quick overview of the organization and what they do. We've had them on the air several times in the past, and we welcome them back. Eric, thanks for joining us again for Heroes.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It is always a pleasure to be with you. The Carnegie Hero Fund Commission was established by Andrew Carnegie in 1904, and for the last 119 years plus has recognized and supported civilian heroes in the United States and Canada, those that would risk themselves to save or attempt to save the life of another human being. And to date, we've given more than 10,000 Carnegie medals for heroism and more than $44 million in one-time grants, which includes scholarship, death benefits, and monthly grants for those who qualify.
And it's always been right here in Pittsburgh.
Right here in Pittsburgh.
And you have 21 members of the board, and many of them, not all, but many of them are from the Pittsburgh region, aren't they?
That's right. This is Pittsburgh born and bred from the mind and heart of Andrew Carnegie. And really, I think, stands out then and now in terms of, you know, a really unique organization that does its work relatively quietly to find these heroes and recognize them, make sure that neither they nor their dependents suffer as a result of their decision to place their lives in danger for another human being.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. And it was Andrew Carnegie's favorite charity, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah, I think so from what I've seen and read, and we're very proud of that. But it really, I say it came from Carnegie's mind and heart, and it very much did. It was the only one of his many philanthropic endeavors that he said, these are his words, that came from his own imagination alone. And I think there was a lot more of Andrew Carnegie, the man, maybe in this effort than in others. He felt very strongly about heroism. He felt very strongly that those who would put themselves at risk should not suffer. There were instances when heroes and others who exhibited heroic qualities were placed on Carnegie's private pension rolls if they could not be, either, whether it was before the Hero Fund's foundation or even throughout its existence. In some cases, if they agreed and would not bestow a Carnegie medal, Carnegie would feel strongly enough that he would put that individual or family on his private pension roll. So he felt very passionately about heroism, self-sacrifice, and selflessness, and the impact that it could have on our society.
Well, he was a great man, and you have really carried on the tradition of Andrew Carnegie. And now tell us about some of the people that have recently been designated as Carnegie heroes.
Well, Jim, our board of 21, as you mentioned, just met recently within the last week or two, and they considered the cases under nomination for the Carnegie Medal for Heroism. And 16 individuals throughout the United States were given the Carnegie Medal, or will be given the Carnegie Medal, but they were approved for the Carnegie Medal. And it's interesting, these 16 civilians, as is often the case, come from all different walks of life and backgrounds. In this group, we actually had three teachers who, in separate incidents, drowned while trying to rescue children from deep water situations. So each and every one is an individual effort by individuals with real human consequences. But we're proud of these 16 heroes. Six awards out of that 16 are made posthumously. So those heroes lost their lives in their rescue attempt. So let's start with Brady M. Pratt. Brady M. Pratt saved two girls from burning in Petronilla, Texas on December 20th, 2020. And the girls, aged 1 and 8, were rear passengers in a sport utility vehicle that was involved in a highway accident in which a sedan struck the SUV head on. And both vehicles left the highway and came to rest in a field. The sedan caught fire, which spread to the SUV's adjacent front end. Now, our hero, Mr. Pratt, was 35, he was a Border Patrol agent, he was driving nearby and came upon the wreckage. Pratt parked his vehicle and ran across the highway to the field and approached the SUV. Alerted there were children inside, Pratt approached the rear of the vehicle to the broken-out rear windshield, then saw the two girls. Despite front-end flames and heavy smoke inside the vehicle, Pratt fully entered through the rear windshield opening. First, he approached the 8-year-old girl, unlatched her belt, but she alerted Pratt that she was injured and told him to first remove the 1-year-old girl. Pratt moved to the driver's side, reached over the rear seat, and accessed the one-year-old girl's car seat while struggling to breathe due to the smoke. And Pratt unbuckled the car seat's safety harness and lifted the girl out of the seat, and with the girl in tow, he backed toward the SUV's rear, where he handed her to a woman outside. So Pratt then approached the 8-year-old girl, but realizing her leg injury would make it difficult to remove her over the back seat and out through the rear window, Pratt backed out of the vehicle. He exited through the rear windshield and approached the rear passenger side window. A man there broke out the window glass with a golf club, after which Pratt pulled the remaining glass from the door frame before extending his upper body inside. He grasped the girl under her arms, pulled her toward his body, and back through the window opening. He then carried her about 30 feet from the vehicle, where others tended to her. Pratt returned to the vehicle, climbed onto the roof, and extended his arm inside through the broken-out sunroof and checked the pulses of the driver and front passenger, but he found they had both died. Pratt then retreated to safety. The 8-year-old suffered a broken leg. Pratt was uninjured.
Wow.
Yeah, two young children in a car, driver and passenger unconscious, and sadly ultimately died, but Mr. Pratt was able to rescue these two young children who would have been really left helpless as the fire conditions got worse inside that vehicle.
Well, he was a determined man, and I guess his training probably helped him.
Yeah, no specific fire rescue training, but I think we can agree that Border Patrol agents deal with a myriad of issues on a daily basis, and we respect and appreciate the work that they do. But Mr. Pratt, again, maybe right man at the right time, put his life on the line and saved two young children. Next, we have Manjeet Singh, who died attempting to rescue Samantha Cruz Pedro from drowning in Reedley, California. And this was August 5th, 2020. And in the Kings River off of City Beach, young girl Samantha, who was 8 years old, struggled to swim as she separated from a group of children in her party, and the swift current carried her downstream. Now, there were no lifeguards on duty. Among those on the beach who were alerted by calls to help multiple children was Singh. Mr. Singh was 31 years old, a farmer, and a non-swimmer. He entered the river and removed and unwrapped his turban to extend it as a lifeline as he advanced into water up to his neck. Shortly, he submerged, and onlookers lost sight of him. Others safely removed another girl who was not seriously injured from the river downstream, while a man on a one-person watercraft located Samantha face down and helped to pass her to first responders who were on the bank. Samantha was taken to a hospital where sadly she died 6 days later. After about 50 minutes, Singh was recovered, unresponsive downstream. Attempts to revive Mr. Singh were unsuccessful. He had drowned.
Well, that's a sad story.
It is, and you have a man that sacrificed all to save a little girl he didn't know. It's interesting that he attempted at first to utilize the turban that he wore as a life rope of sorts, which when it didn't work, he put himself fully into the danger. And I mentioned early on, Jim, that Mr. Singh was a non-swimmer.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that he was probably really had some trepidation about going into the water. If you can't swim, but evidently that wasn't on his mind at all.
I can't even imagine, and we run into these situations, quite often, what must have been going through Mr. Singh's mind at the time and others who would endeavor such a rescue, knowing that they have no swimming ability whatsoever. But yet they do it. They do it time and again. And, one could say that, it's just an exercise in futility. And I would argue strongly against that, because in so many cases, the rescuer is able to do just enough to rescue a victim that they may sacrifice their own life in the process. A true heroism, true disregard for their own personal safety. The next case from the June class is a dual rescue in which two individuals were awarded by the commission. And that was James Bluen and Ryan Ross, who together helped rescue Daniel Martinez from assault in Squim, Washington, May 2022. It was in the early morning, an hour before sunrise, when Mr. Martinez, 31, who was a police officer who had stopped a 34-year-old driver on a city street, he was walking back toward his police car when the man exited his truck, ran to Martinez, and tackled him. Now, in the course of a violent struggle spanned 2.5 minutes, the assailant, who was larger than Martinez, punched and kicked the officer, who called for help as he fought alone against the assailant. The assailant grasped Martinez's handgun, and Martinez pushed him away and discharged a round that missed the assailant's shoulder. As the attack continued, a second round discharged from the gun. Ultimately, Martinez and the assailant were tangled on the ground, with Martinez's right hand holding to the gun beneath the assailant's body, along with the assailant's hand, so they were struggling for control. More than 200 feet away, Bluin, who was 50, heard the sound of a gunshot and Martinez calling for help. Bluin approached the dark scene and learned from Martinez that he was struggling for control of the gun. Bluin attempted to reach for the gun beneath the assailant's torso but could not feel it. Bluin then pushed the assailant's head down, and when the assailant responded by trying to push himself up, Bluin grasped the assailant's hands. Now, driving toward the scene, Mr. Ross, 45, a city facilities maintenance tech, heard Bluin's calls for help. Ross exited his city vehicle to assist. Ross restrained the assailant's legs, as Bluin held the assailant's hands, and they shortly received additional help from a nearby resident and a sheriff's deputy. The assailant, who was taken into custody, subsequently was charged with the murder of his mother, which had taken place shortly before the traffic stop. Martinez was hospitalized for treatment of injuries that included a torn labrum in his shoulder. A prosecutor decided Martinez was justified in firing his gun at the assailant. Bluin had minor scrapes on his hands that did not require medical attention, and both rescuers recovered.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Eric Zarin, the chairman and CEO of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund. That last story that you told us is really one that sounds like it came right out of a movie with starring some hero that would do that. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
I want you to come back next week and give us some more stories. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Roddy. Please tune in next week for Heroes.